Right after my son was born, a nurse came in to prick his heel for a test. She took his leg and he let out a yowl, one of those newborn sounds that shoot like electricity into your bloodstream. I leaned over, laid my hand over his whole chest, and told him I was there. He paused, a final scared shudder rumbled through him before he took another deep, sturdy breath to calm himself. It felt holy, this touch of motherhood. I wish it were still that easy to calm him now. He's going through about a strep throat, and given how sequestered the kids have been during 2020, I was flabbergasted when his fever appeared. How on earth did he get this? I hissed at my mom and spat out to my husband. Then I focused on the offender who I could control the most. Was it me? Had I brought it back from a trip out? Was it my fault? I've already been feeling guilty. My son is not a classic quarantine baby. Still, he is young enough for the before times to seem mythic. It pierces my soul every time he asserts things to do after coronavirus is over. He should have been spending the last few months in the same pre-K program that his older sister thrived in just a few years ago. It's right at the entrance of our block, blessed with the same old growth trees that appear in our whole neighborhood. The program did wonders for my daughter, helping her learn to write, make friends, and do entirely more art projects than I have any type of patience for. In keeping with the needs for the school's state-supported program, we've had to drive over to the school, pick up some packets and paperwork, and assess his physical development, if not so much his educational development. Every time, he sits in the back of the car and comments assertively about how this is his school. Every time, that's another jab at my soul. Soon, I tell him, soon you'll be able to go too. Our county's debating hybrid schooling, partially in person, partially virtually. We knew we'd head back into it. Our numbers have thankfully dropped from a terrifying daily count of over 500 new cases to a steady count of around 50. 2 weeks ago, we again went to pick up a packet. And when we drove up, most of the kids were outside, playing without masks in the playground. In the early Zoom meetings, the teachers explained that they had tried, but it's harder to enforce with the younger ones, and that's understandable. Yet, in every discussion I hear, it's the youngest students legislators want to send in first. One evening later that week, an emergency text came through the school's assistant director. A child had tested positive for COVID-19. It was the school's first, with some students having been sent home to quarantine for exposure, but never a positive case in a student. The director explained that he was happy that they had lasted as long as they did without a case, and was disappointed, but not unprepared. A few days later, a second child from the same class tested positive. I'm unsure when to send my kids back to school. I worry about the vaccination rate in my county, which is lacking compared to the substantial numbers offered to other metro areas in the state. It's questionable enough to have local reporters, readers, and legislators thankfully start asking those questions. Another problem is a variety of factors in play. One weekend, one of my daughter's teachers from the pre-K greeted us warmly at an auto supply store. I don't begrudge the teacher's work there, but I felt sad that for all the full-time work she already did, which enabled so much growth for my daughter, she seemed to need a second job. It's situations like that that stretch our pandemic bubbles through no fault of our own. It's one more variable in the chaotic reach of nature where even the touch of motherhood cannot come through to protect, to heal, or to even soothe. For my so-called millennial life, I'm Cassie McClure.